This is a paid advertisement by BetterHelp. So October 10th is World Mental Health Day. Usually that's all about reminding us to mind ourselves. But this year, BetterHelp are flipping her a bit, putting the spotlight on the therapists.
Which makes sense. Because behind every, that actually helped moment in therapy, there's a therapist who listened, asked the right questions, and helped someone move forward.
And BetterHelp have been doing this for years. Over 12 years, in fact. They've helped more than 5 million people worldwide connect with therapists.
The best part is, they do the matching for you. You just fill in a short questionnaire and they'll connect you with someone who fits your needs. And if it's not a match, you can switch. It's as simple as that.
So if something's on your mind and keeping you up at night, maybe give it a go. I know that talking to the right person can genuinely change things.
Exactly. So this World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who've helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey.
Our listeners get 10% off the first month at betterhelp.com/bollocks. That's better, HELP.com/bollocks. Go loud. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Try your wits in it now. Tell your body
again. Working hard and long. When you finish that. The Hypnoga.
Episode 237 of the Talking Models podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by Rystyle Furniture. Are you in the middle of turning your house into a home?
Get down to Rystyle Furniture, an Irish family-run spot that's actually sound. I won't sell you a couch that looks like it's had to be found in a skip.
The house package deals are unreal. Sofas, beds, dining sets, the full works from just $3,649.
Plus they're open 7 days a week and open late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni. Handy if you're walking all day as well.
They're in Fonthill, Belgard and now Omni Park. I got my corner sofa off them and it's chef's kiss.
I'd live in that sofa, do you know that?
Sure, you'd have to call the fire brigade to get you over. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
And today we're joined by
Miriam Hussey.
Miriam, thanks very much for coming into us.
Delighted.
Sorry about the setup, sorry Terry.
Yeah, go on.
It's our first time in this studio now. It's a bit, we're trying to all kind of feel it out and see what way we feel about it now.
Yeah, because there's a little window there, Siobhan's outside. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? We feel mad separated from everyone in here. And the door, it's like a submarine door out there.
Honestly, it's sealed in.
My nerves are gone. But Miriam, how's things? How are you keeping?
I'm good, thankfully. Book has just come out, so it's been a bit of a whirlwind of a few weeks. But exciting, yeah. But like with anything, new and anything that you're putting out into the world, of course, there's going to be ups and downs and you feel all the emotions, don't you? I think you feel that roller coaster of some days it's amazing and other days you're like,
yeah,
you know. So I've met all of that. But thankfully, it's going well.
Yeah, you were saying the easy part is writing the book because everybody says the same thing when you bring out a book or anything like that. It's non-stop then.
Yeah.
It's like interviews.
Yeah.
That's heavy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The easy part for me was sit down, write the book. And that was the part that just flowed out of me. I actually had two books. I actually had to cut out half. It had so much. So that was the part that was so easy. But this part, having to kind of get out there and the promotion part of it, because part of my mission is to not glorify myself, but to put yourself out there, but with humility and with grace. And I think it's finding that balance between the ego and the essence. And sometimes when you're kind of constantly having to go out there and put yourself out there, you feel like, oh, it's just a bit of the ego talking. But then I have to come back into it and say, actually, get out of the head and get into the heart and say, actually, my book's going to help people. So I always say, if you get nervous, focus on service. So it's not about me. It's actually about the message. It's about the book. And if it gets into the hands of people and it's going to help those people, well, then why would you not shout about it? So it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, brilliant answer. What's the name of the book?
It's called Light Up. And then the three taglines are energize your body, awaken your mind and supercharge your soul.
What was the reason for writing it?
I've always wanted to write a book. I always had kind of an inner knowingness, even since I was young, that I would write a book. And I suppose my mission is, having gone through the kind of medical world, I spent 10 years working as a pharmacist and mainly in community pharmacy. So handing out tablets to people. And what I really realized was in that 10 years, I worked predominantly in the same pharmacy as well. So I was able to make connections with people and see the progression and the trend. And they might start off on one tablet, but then next thing they're on two or three tablets. And then 2 years later, they're on five, six, et cetera. And you have this thing called polypharmacy, where one tablet is needed to counteract the side effect of another and so on. And while of course medicine saves lives and we need it and it's wonderful, what I did realize was I could see the rise in things like chronic illness. And these are illnesses that don't just fall out of the sky and hit you on the head, like diabetes or, you know, these are lifestyle related. And they're an accumulation of what we're doing every single day in our lifestyle. And if that's bringing us closer to a life of vitality and ease and grace and health and happiness, or a life that's going to keep us locked and blocked in more struggle and strain and stress. And I had that moment one day, like I was filling out someone's prescription pad. And I mean, he was on 25 tablets, like, and I was just popping the pills in there. And I just said, I wonder, does anything change in the person's life from the minute they get the tablets in the month till they come back the next time? Like, do they still eat the same food? Are they still moving or not moving? Are they still in the same relationships, career? Are they still stressed out? What's their sleep like? What's their career like? What's their relationship like? Is anything changing? And you know, that famous phrase, if nothing ever changes, nothing will ever change. And often what we do is we hand our power over to the pill or the doctor. And I said, I had that aha moment. I think I'd be doing a better job or being a better service to the world if I got out from behind the counter and actually spoke about lifestyle as medicine or preventative health. Because sometimes I felt it was a bit too late when people came to me. And I often said, imagine if we, like, if I could have spent time with this person and worked on, maybe tweaked a few little things, maybe they might not need all these tablets right now. So that's why I wrote the book. It starts with the body. That's why it's called Energize Your Body. And that looks at how we can regulate the nervous system, because in our world today, we're just all stressed off our heads. You know, it's just go, 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 manic, manic, busy, busy, on, on. And we're dysregulated. And when that happens, the nervous system, when we go out of balance, then all the major functionalities of the body get affected. So that's when we get digestive problems. That's when we get respiratory problems, cardiac problems, fertility issues, all these things, because the body's saying, holy shit, you're in danger all the time. You're in threat. So it's going to keep pumping your stress hormones, which is your adrenaline and your cortisone, pumping around the blood to keep you in that fight or flight, you know, or that reactive state to keep you alive, to keep you surviving. But long term, that's not helpful for the nervous system. And what happens is, I always say, and you'll get this, like if you're an athlete and you're training, or if you have a guy and he's doing a 400 meter sprint and he's like gung-ho, he needs the adrenaline to perform. He needs that cortisol to get around the track. But then when the race is over, he gets off and he rests and he rehabs and he rehydrates and he repairs. We're like the athlete in life, and we're just never getting off the track. So it starts with the body. And in the body, it looks like the things that we probably all know about when it comes to health, like regulate the nervous system, reduce your stress, your movement as medicine. But I talk about how we can activate our own inner pharmacy through movement. So endorphins and serotonin, all how they can be released, those chemicals to make you feel good. And then obviously your nutrition and sleep, rest. But then the biggest, I know this is a long answer.
That's a great answer.
But then as you move through the book, the real, I think, nuggets are the real thing that I'm truly passionate about is the second pillar is the mind. And I know you've spoken to Jerry a lot about the mind, but it's how we can awaken the mind. And it's that mind-body connection and how everything that goes on in our mind, our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings, how they physically can affect the body. So if you're sad, that's an emotion. You can't see it, but we can feel it. And what happens when you get sad? You can physically, you'll produce tears and you'll start to cry. Or if you're embarrassed, your cheeks go bright red. So your blood vessels will physically dilate and blood will pump to the cheeks and now you'll go bright red. So as a result of an invisible thought or a feeling, it massively can physically produce symptoms in the body. And in the book, I talk about 11 pillars of how we can build internal fitness of the mind. So we get up in the morning, we'll wash our physical body, we'll wash the outside, we'll brush our teeth, we'll wash our hair, we'll wash our face. But how often do we stop and wash our mind and cleanse our mind, because it's so connected? And then the last pillar is supercharge the soul. And for me, that's it. Like, that's the missing pillar, I think, in our modern world of wellness. There's so much about food and fitness and all of that, and that's brilliant. But the soul is, it's who you are. It's what makes you guys different. It's your energy. It's your characteristics. It's your dreams. It's your passions. It's your desires. It's that inner spark of light. You know, when someone walks into a room, you feel their energy and they either light up the room, or you can feel it when they're closed and that light has dimmed or gone out. It's like the ripple effect or the pebble effect. So it's like you have three circles. The outer circle is that physical body, and that's obviously the nervous system, the cells, the organs, the tissues, the bones. The next circle inside that is the mind, and that's your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings. But then go in again, that's the soul. And if that's suppressed are squeezed or you're not listening to your soul script, because everyone has a different script. What's your unique talents and gifts? Why have you been placed here? What's your purpose? What's your passion? And if we're not listening to that because we're so distracted in the modern world that we're cut off, we're disconnected, we don't go in, we don't get silent enough, we don't get quiet enough to go in and actually hear those whispers, then it's like a distress signal, an alarm goes off. And now an energy of distress comes out from that soul that's suppressed and squeezed into the mind, which is the next circle. And now we're anxious in the mind, and we're irritated, we're frustrated. We don't know why, we're just not aligned, we're not right, something's not right. And then when that's happening in the mind, that sends an energy into the outer circle, which is the physical, and then the nervous system gets dysregulated. And as I mentioned earlier, that's when we get sick. So sometimes we're looking at it from the outside in, but we're band-aiding, not actually lifting the lid and saying, well, what's the cause of the lack of ease in the first place, which is deeper, causing the disease? Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you and Jerry are made for each other, Maria. Okay, well, that was...
Was that the longest answer you've ever gotten in your life, probably?
And one of the best, I think, as well. So, fucking hell, that was a lot to take in, but it was absolutely brilliant. What we do with every guest, Miriam, I have so many questions there about everything that you just said, but what we do with every guest is we want to get to know your story as well.
Yeah.
So, will you tell us where you're from and what was life like growing up for you?
Absolutely. So, I'm a Galway girl, grew up in Galway, and spent most of my life in Galway. Hit college, came up here to the big smoke, studied just around the corner here in RCSI. That's where I studied my pharmacy. And then after pharmacy, locumed around in kind of different places all over Ireland. And then I started working as a community pharmacist in a place called Ballinasloe in Galway. And then midway kind of through that, I headed off on my travels. So as you do, backpack in tow, took off around Southeast Asia, all of that, onto Australia, New Zealand, Bali, the whole works, and had an amazing time. And then came back. But part of that, actually, I tell a lot of my personal story in the book, and it's a very open, honest dive into my own struggles and the challenges that I faced. And one of them, particularly after traveling, I came home and I ended up in hospital. I ended up in ICU with bilateral pneumonia, very, very unwell. Predominantly because I just wasn't minding myself, having a great time, partying, but also I totally had a disharmonious relationship with food. And that showed up. So I was very underweight, didn't mind myself, the strains of kind of final year pressure of college and exams, lost my appetite. But then I was very much fixated on the external. And that's why in the book I talk so much about that. And I meet people with the external because that's what we tend to focus on. But the external is just a symptom of something that's disharmonious going on inside. So I talk about my struggles with food. Emotional eating is a big part in the nutrition part, in our, but it's more about our relationship to food. And then obviously after that, came back home and was practicing as a pharmacist. But then I was this big like undercurrent of there's more to the pill for every ill. There's more to just the physical way of treating and looking at, well, how do we treat the whole person? That mind, body, soul. And then I started to just eat up books and courses and everything I could. And I trained as a yoga teacher and meditation and mindfulness and then obviously nutritional well-being and just did so many things on lifestyle as medicine.
Yeah.
Then got married, met Jerry, got married, two kids, and here I am today. We set up Soul Space together, which is really looking at that whole integrated approach. And here I am.
was it a dream as a kid to be a pharmacist?
I wouldn't say I dreamt to be a pharmacist, but I always had an inclination towards the health and well-being side.
Yeah, to be in that world is kind of what I meant. Yeah,
yeah. Always, even in school or like secondary school, I was always drawn towards the kind of science, the kind of biology and sport. I played a lot of sport growing up and been outside, and just I was always drawn towards that health and well-being side of things. Yeah.
And then you went to yoga. Was that a big change for you then to go into wellness?
I don't think it was a big change because I always had that kind of undercurrent of having it. And even I think as I went into pharmacy, I went in to that, I suppose, genre because I was like, this is going to help people. I'm going to be in the healthcare space. But then I suppose I wasn't long in pharmacy where I realized I'm actually in a sick care system, not a healthcare system, where people come to you when they're unwell rather than coming to you to stay well.
Mm.
But even in college, like, people used to kind of roll the eyes a little bit at me, I think, because back then it was a bit woo-woo, you know, complementary, alternative, holistic was a bit like, is she a bit batshit crazy, you know? And I remember doing my final thesis on complementary and alternative medicine. And I remember asking, like, one of my lecturers one time when we were studying anatomy and you're working on the dead bodies, the cadavers, like, it's, you're examining them. And of course, you need to do that. You need to figure out what's going on in the physical body. But I remember saying to her, you know, this person isn't alive. Like, we're looking at how we can heal the person, but there's no life in this person. There's no emotions, there's no feelings, there's no energy, there's no thoughts. And I remember just kind of going, oh my God, what's wrong with you? One. But I could also see she was kind of going, actually, we might have missed something here, because their energy is what makes us light up or not light up, and what causes us to be well, maybe, or unwell, you know? So, always had the draw towards that.
So do you think then, going into pharmacy, maybe you're on the wrong train and you should have went, like, an holistic approach earlier?
Do you know what? No. And a lot of people have asked me that. I'm so grateful for my time as a pharmacist and in my time in college. I loved it and I learned so much, and I would never turn back the clock, because if I didn't go through that journey, I wouldn't know what I know now. And I think you have to be in a system to see how it works, to also see maybe where there's limitations and where there could be room for improvement. And without having gone through that journey as well, I think it just gives more credibility that I just didn't do a weekend course on health and wellness. You know, I've been in this space for donkey's years now. I'm going to show my age. But I've always, it's been steeped in science as well. And I think it's really important that we know that it's not just woo-woo or anything. You know, it's just everything I do is steeped in, there's science to this, but I just kind of marry it with the spirituality as well. So you have that nice blend between the Western world and the Eastern world, and they kind of come together to unite.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big thing, how people deliver it. I don't think enough people kind of present it that way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do lean towards the woo-woo side of it. Like, oh, if you do this, you'll just be better. And you're like, but how? Yes. Whereas a lot of people know, well, if you say, take this tablet, this is what's counteracting in your body, and it's explained to them better. So they're like, oh, I'm going to lean towards that because it's backed up more. Yeah. Whereas you're just telling me that this is magic. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. Whereas I think, if, as you said, you blend the two of them together and you say, no, this is actually what's happening. When you do yoga in the morning, you're kind of reducing your cortisol levels in your body, and your body's able to relax more. You can go to sleep easier, this, that, and the other now. And that leads to a better lifestyle. And long term, then you'll benefit from that. People are like, oh, I understand that now. I'm going to lean towards this.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I think when you understand something, you're more likely to do it. And then you'll feel the benefits of it. And then you're more likely to make it a habit, or you're more likely to scaffold it onto things you're already doing. And that's one thing I would say to people, like, especially in the book, I didn't want it to be another one of these self-help books where it's like overwhelm people. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I have enough things to be doing. I don't need to do another thing here. You know, that's more adding more overwhelm or more stress. So I want everything to be very simple, very easy to do, and things that don't cost anything, that don't take up much time, but can be done anywhere in the world at any time. And that's little things like the breath, like simply stopping and taking 5 slow, deep belly breaths. Game changer. The more you do that and do it regularly throughout the day, what you're doing now is you're, so if you go into that fight or that flight, or that, you know, in the book, I call it the 6 F's, just fight, flight, freeze, fawn, flop and flow. So we often just think of the two, fight and flight, but there's actually a lot more other ways that we react. Like fawn is like when you people please. It's a stress response because you want to fit in with the tribe and not be left behind. So you just please everyone and do everything to be liked and to be seen of and to be proved of. And that way I'll be okay, I'll be seen. But deep down, your inside is going, I hate that place. I don't want to be there. But you're doing it to please. And that causes a tethering, I call it, of the soul, and an internal tug of war, and eventually a depletion of yourself. You have another response, which is the freeze response. So if that's when you literally can't do anything, you're just frozen. I often say it's like if you're driving down the motorway, the fight is like you put on the fisty gloves and you'll say, you know, I'll show you now. And you get into that defense when you get stressed or triggered. That's like you're putting the foot to the accelerator and you're going, and you're just hammering it. The flight response then is kind of like when you hit the brake. You're like, avoid confrontation, run away, head under the duvet, don't want to just face this. That's kind of like the flight. And then the freeze is like when you press the accelerator and the brake together and you go nowhere. And that's when you procrastinate. That's when you just numb out, can't do anything. You're just frozen solid. And a lot of people find themselves in that position. You know, it's like you've loads of work to do, or you have a big exam coming up and you know you should be studying, but you just can't. You can't even get yourself to open the books because you're so overwhelmed by it all. And then you have flop is where you literally, people collapse. They literally fall down. And then flow is where we all want to be. That's where you have that level of adrenaline, cortisol to get you up, to get you in the zone, but you're at ease in that place and you're able to kind of flow with it. So they're kind of how we can react and respond to stresses. But ultimately, it's little things like the breath that helps to regulate your responses throughout the day. So the cortisol and the adrenaline are building and building and building and building. And then you get to nighttime, you're tired and wired. You're absolutely exhausted, but you're wired and you can't shut off. It's because we've been so stimulated throughout the day, whether that's through always on our phones or too much caffeine or sugars. And the nervous system is just like Tasmanian devil. Coffee, coffee, sugar, get me through the day. And then maybe a glass of wine to kind of try and cool down at nighttime. And we kind of end up in this cycle. So if you can stop, pause and take five deep breaths, you will signal to your nervous system that there's no threat or no danger. Because Miriam wouldn't be able to stop, pause and take five deep breaths if there was a bear running at her or if she was still in danger. So then if you're in threat, you will naturally be breathing really quickly and rapidly from the like and shallow. But if you stop, pause and let your belly rise and then do that five times, it takes less than a minute. You're now regulating the nervous system and you're coming back to a place of ease, feeling more grounded, feeling more centered, feeling more aligned. And then you don't react as much. You don't kind of fly off the handle as much. The stresses will still be there. The shit might still be there, but you'll come at it from a more centered space and from a more grounded space. And that's so simple. And that can be done anywhere, at any time. It doesn't cost anything. You're doing it while you're sitting on the Lewis, while you're waiting for the kettle to boil. But regularly throughout the day, do that. And I guarantee you, it will really help to kind of reduce that stress and help you to feel more aligned and also bring you into your heart more, out of the head, which is fear, ego. The heart is love, compassion, forgiveness and joy.
Yeah. Another way, that's one of them. You're just going to get caught. I'm sitting here listening to you and then what I should be doing is thinking of the next question. But I'm so wrapped up in the answer that I'm going, bollocks, what do I say next? You obviously said that you went on to get married to Jerry when you come back from your travels and all that. You've created Soul Space then.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Why did you just create it? How did it happen? It's huge now, isn't it? Events and stuff.
Yeah, so we do a lot of events and retreats and we've actually one coming up now next month. And what happened was Jerry was very much coming from the performance psychology and I was obviously coming from the pharmacy. And as we were just kind of chatting and kind of things organically working together and different maybe events or stuff, we kind of like, this is very aligned and connected, and actually what you're bringing is a big pillar around the mind and what I'm bringing is a huge pillar around the body and the physical and the nervous system and all that, and then the soul is just something that we both obviously are so passionate about, and especially as I started then with the yoga and learning all about the kind of philosophy around that, and that's how it came together. And we said, let's bring it all together, let's do something that at the time really wasn't been done in Ireland, where people weren't really bringing everything together from that bigger picture, holistic approach. You know, you've so much around, even events and stuff, there was so much around fitness and food. And as we kind of walked around a lot of those events, although they're amazing, we both kind of said, where's the soul part? Where's the mind? Like, where are people coming to get burn all this stuff off, which is brilliant. But where do people find peace? And I think if I were to ask anybody, if I were to ask you guys, like, what do we all want? And really, it's just people want more peace, more ease, more joy, less stress, like less of the franticness. But I think we don't prioritize that enough because today's world is go, 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 busy, busy, busy. The more you do, the more successful you are, badge of honor. Da, 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 and we glorify and honor the things that are very tangible without maybe stopping and giving reverence and space to the things that aren't so tangible, like the people that are doing things that maybe aren't winning awards, but like, as Jerry often say, you have the fisherman in the boat and he's just at ease and he's happy out and we're chasing the Ferraris and the jets, but is it actually bringing us more happiness? And I always say, like, of course you aim high and have dream big and have goals and successful and all that. But I would always, you know, come back to like, there's a phase and stage for everything in your life. And even for me in the book, I have to be very honest and like, I'm a mom of two young kids and that's where my priority is now. And for the last few years, that's what I have done. And I've stepped back because that's where my soul was screaming at me saying, you don't want to miss this. This is where you want to be. And I had to say no to so many opportunities and say, not right now. And even with the book, I had to pause the book. And I have a letter that I wrote to my editor in the book when I had to say, I can't do this anymore. I cannot be the dentist with the rotten teeth telling people to listen to their heart, to mind themselves, if I'm depleted and drained myself, which I was because I had two young kids and I was trying to write a book. I was like, I cannot do this. And I risked them saying, OK, let's pull the contract. And I've always wanted to write a book and it was my dream. But I said, not right now. I can't do it this way. And if I do, it'll be forced. It'll be from my head. It won't be authentic. And I said, no, I can't do it. So I put an excerpt of the letter in the book to show people that it's okay to say no.
Mm.
And listen to your heart and follow that. And if it's meant to be, it'll come back around in divine timing at the right time.
Mm, I think that's a big one as well for people. I think so many people are afraid to say no when opportunities arise, like, because you think it'll never come around again, like, and it's easy to get up in your head and kind of forget why you want to do something as well. So I think that's a good message as well there, because you're right, everybody's too busy nowadays. Everyone's flared out doing this, that and the other. And then they think an opportunity comes up, they have to jump at it. Like, it's a big thing for you to say, like, you pulled the plug on something that you wanted so bad at some stage because you didn't think you would have did it right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's an easy thing to do.
Just a little more.
The presidential election is nearly here, so if you're on the register, the big thing is actually showing up and voting.
Exactly. On polling day, Friday, October 24th, head down to your local station with your photo ID.
You might get a polling card in the post. Now it's handy if you do, but you don't need it to vote.
The polling card tells you where to go, but if you're not sure, check online at checktheregister.ie.
The whole process is quick. Show your ID, get your stamped ballot paper, make your choice starting with the number one, drop it in the box and boom, job done.
And if you want to look on how it works, there's a short video on electoralcommission.ie.
So don't just sit on the couch, get out and use your vote to decide who's our next president.
Learn more now at www.electoralcommission.ie.
But with the Soul Space events now, they are huge, aren't they? Like, they're amazing. Calvin has obviously been to one. I've been to two or three of them at this stage.
You had a segment of the one I was at.
Yeah.
Which one were you at?
The one in the concert hall. It would have been November 23.
Okay. Yeah, the concert hall, they were great ones, yeah.
I think it was on a Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We generally put them on a Sunday because we call it a Soul Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've seen you've been pulled up on stage a few times with Jerry.
Oh, dear, I swear to God, he might have shown me.
But yeah, they're great. And we're going to do one at Christmas this year. We've literally only announced it today, actually. We only put the tickets on sale. And it's going to be called Light Up on the back of the book. But it'll be an evening event. And I think it's on a Thursday evening. I think it's the 11th of December. And what we're going to do is it's just a time for people literally to press pause and come together and connect. And it'll be just an evening of conversation, of good conversation, of reflection, because the year just, you know, has been busy for so many people. So before you go into the rush of the Christmas and the new year, it's just to press pause. It's to have a lovely evening, talks, some meditations, get people just to release, to let go, connect, and have a lovely evening of reflection and connection. I think it's a lovely time of year to do that.
I was going to say that. I think that's the perfect time to do an event like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I'm trying to explain what them events are like to people, I'm trying to say to them, like, you don't have to be down on your luck to go to this event. Like, you can be a big business owner, successful, and things could be going good in your life, but going to an event, like, it's like a reset.
All you have to do is look at who does be in the audience.
Yeah.
I remember I was sitting there and I was like, that's, I'm not going to say names, so I was like, there's your man and there's your one with him, and I was like, fucking hell, you never know who you're going to meet here.
I know, yeah, there's a real mix of everybody and all ages, and, you know, it, like, so it is, it's for everyone. And I always say it's for everyone because everyone has a heart. You know, and if you just want to connect to that and you want to be better in your life at whatever that is, whether it's a mum, a dad, a son, a wife, or whatever, a CEO, if you're not listening, if you're not in your heart, then you're closed off and you're just disconnected. And it's, even if you're at the top of your game, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to feel it, because if the heart is locked and blocked, you can't feel joy. You can't feel any of the the emotions of happiness, because it's just maybe in the head, next thing, fear. So it's just allowing people to, sometimes I always say you have to crack open the heart and dissolve the barriers of protection that we've often shielded up around our heart to keep our demons locked in and keep love locked out. And that's generally what we do. And unless we dissolve that, and that's why sometimes we do meditations with people or even on our retreats, like it's, people look completely different when they leave. Like they look like they've just energetically, but physically, it's like they've lost the pounds of pain that we're carrying. We don't even know we're carrying heaviness some of the times, and or their eyes are brighter, or they've just let go of a lot of the shite physically that we're carrying, and a lot of it that's not even our own. You know, we just hold on to it. And it's only when you allow yourself time and space to kind of say, okay, it's time to let this go now. And we can all do that. You know, it's not woo-woo, and it's the science to it. Like when you release a lot of the emotions that we've held and locked in the body, that's, you know, it's so important that those emotions come out. Otherwise, I often say it's like if I have a bottle of Coke here and I tighten the lid really tight, but I start to shake the bejesus out of the bottle. So the bottle is like, it's the vessel, and that's like your body. And then what's shaking it is like the stress or the busyness of life. And then what's been tossed around inside is all your hormones and your nervous system and everything inside of you and your emotions. But if you keep the lid really tight and you keep shaking it, but you're locking everything in, you're not letting things out. So you're not being vulnerable, you're not sharing your emotions, you're locking them in. Eventually what happens is, lid blows off and there's an absolute blowout. And that's often a burnout or sometimes a diagnosis. So what I'd be saying to people is, okay, yeah, you're going to get tossed around. That's life. Like, we have to accept that we cannot control the external stuff that's thrown at us. But what we can control is whether we keep that lid locked or we open it and we go, and you're just starting to let things up and out. Things that aren't going to overwhelm you or shock you, but you're just starting to move some of those emotions that we sometimes keep locked in because we have to be perfect or we have to have it all together or whatever it is. But as you move those emotions out, emotion is energy in motion. And in the book, there's a chapter on movement as medicine. And I talk about the science behind this, but like you're starting to move some of those that emotions that are bubbling up and out. Otherwise, they get locked. As I said, we get tossed around and we often push them into the dark corners of the body. And that's when we get tight and that's when we get rigid and the body starts to seize and we get all these aches and pains. It's because we're not allowing flow into the body. And that's why talking is so important, moving it out, whether it's movement, breath work, a good cry. I always say, like, have a good cry. It's like vomiting for your emotional world. If you have a bad tummy bug and you vomit, you feel better. Same with a good cry sometimes. But I think we just need to know that, like, it's okay to be vulnerable. And a big part of the book is on surrendering. You know, we often think surrendering is weakness. It's quitting. It's, you know, an inability to cope. But I think it's something quite different. I think surrendering is one of the strongest things you can do. And I always say to people, there's strength in your softness. And the strongest people I know are the people that aren't afraid to cry, that aren't afraid to be vulnerable, that aren't afraid to say no, that do sleep, that do rest, that do pull back, that do take time, and that do put their hand up and say, I don't know all the answers and I'm not perfect. And I think if we do that, we lead by example as well, and we allow other people then to follow suit, whether that's in your business or in your family. And I always say fracture and repair. You know, if there's a blowout or you lose the rag, or like I often do with my kids, I'm not perfect, but repair. And the quicker you repair, the quicker you can knit that and stitch it back again, rather than leaving that gap and that void. And then that's where things simmer, and that's where things, she said, he said, da, 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 you know. So it's just put your hand up and say, okay, I messed up, if you did, and just fracture and repair. I know that nobody is perfect.
Mm. What advice would you give to somebody on where to start, Miriam? Because I know there's going to be many, many people listening to this that feel like they're at a low point in their life or a tough point in their life, and they're probably listening to this.
Mm.
Where would you tell somebody to start?
Very good point. And the first thing I would say is, I think you have to figure out, firstly, what's nourishing you in your life? So what is bringing you joy? Because often the time people might know that, but they're just not prioritizing it. So they might know, you know, getting out into the golf course or getting into the sea really helps them, or it's like therapy for them. But they're 7-8 days a week, not there's no 8 days a week, but in the office or whatever. So they're just not allowing time and say they're not prioritizing themselves. And if you dig deeper into that, why don't you prioritize yourself? It's probably because you don't value yourself. You you don't feel worthy enough. So that's a whole other ball game. But I would ask people, say, firstly, what is nourishing you, and are you providing time in your life to do that? Secondly, as I said, everything's a phase and stage in your life. So in this phase and stage in your life, what are the things that are no longer nourishing you, but you're still engaging in? And that might be looking at your, like, where you spend your time, your environment, who you hang around with, you know, what your career is, what your relationships are like. And then looking at the pillars of well-being, like, are you moving? Are you resting? Are you sleeping? I would just say to people, make a list. What's nourishing you? What's not nourishing you? And if the things that are not nourishing you are still taking up so much of your time, where can you start to remove things that are no longer serving you? And one thing I myself and Jerry often would tell people is to be really practical, is to say, have a thing called a code, which is CODE, a calendar of daily events. And they're basically your non-negotiables, and make it simple. So you could have it in a little notepad beside your bed or something on your phone or whatever. But just write down, what's one thing that you're going to do today that's going to nourish your mind, one thing that's going to nourish your body, and one thing that's going to nourish your soul. So one thing for the mind might be, before I get out of bed in the morning, I'm just going to take some 5 deep breaths. Or I'm going to do a little visualization. And that's as simple as, you know, close down your eyes, visualize how you want to see yourself in the day. You know, how you want to walk, how you want to talk, how you want to dress, how you want to eat. Again, this can be done in 1-2 minutes. Or something for your mind might be just, you know, changing the story, you know, reframing things. I have to get to work. I get to go to work. You know, just catching that inner dialogue and maybe saying a positive affirmation, which is something like, I'm willing to show up for myself today. I'm willing to nourish myself today. I'm willing to back myself today. What's one thing you can do for your body? That might be just roll out the yoga mat, do 5 minutes of stretching, might be park the car away further from your office and get those extra steps in, take the stairs rather than the lift, make that juice in the morning, sit down and have your breakfast, eat mindfully, not be scrolling on the phone, you know, chew your food, not be ramming it down your throat on the go. Just something that you can do for your body, or might be getting that run in or whatever. And then what's one thing you can do for your soul? And that might be, you know, what brings you alive? Might be just ringing in your mam for a chat, or someone you love, going out with friends for a good laugh, like a good belly laugh, or, you know, unplugging and getting out for a walk in nature, or jumping into the sea. Might be just having a bath, or some people might just love to curl up with a book. Just something that allows you to kind of get off the treadmill of life for 5 or 10 minutes. Have that cup of coffee, sit outside and just don't have a phone on or a newspaper or anything. You just kind of, where things can drop a little bit. So that's very simple, something you can do. So start small. One small thing that you can do every day, and then just to build on that then.
Miriam, you were talking about the book at the start and you had the 3 taglines, and they all related around the body, the mind and the soul. And you kind of touched on it there. You were saying that movement and exercise is what feeds the body. Mindfulness and meditation can feed the mind. Is it purpose that feeds the soul then?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, for me, how I explain it. So in the book, there's 11 pillars of how you can light up your soul. But really it boils down to your purpose, your passion. But are you listening to your home truths, your core values? So are you living a life that's aligned to your core values? And when you're listening to that, you just know it's right. It's your truth. And I really believe we have to get still enough to go in so we can listen to the whispers of the soul, which is your soul script. And then when you listen to that, then you get the courage to shine bright and expand it. So I call it listening to the soul script and then soul's expansion. Grow full in your light, because now you're confident that you're true to yourself. And people always say, oh, how do you build confidence? And they're always thinking about the external. I'm like, cut the shit, listen to your heart, and then you're going to be confident because you're going to believe in yourself. You're going to back yourself because you know it's true for you. People aren't confident when they're doing something that they're kind of a bit wishy-washy around. They're not really sure of it. So how to light up the soul, biggest part is, I think, is listening to that script, your script. That's different to everybody else's. It's not Mary's down the road, or it's not John up the hill. It's what's right for you. Then I also think lighting up the soul are things like having more fun, you know, getting out in nature, getting flow back to harmony, back into the rhythms of the universe. That's when we can tap into that kind of bigger, higher energy source, universal flow energy. And that's when people would talk about manifesting and all of that kind of stuff, when we're attached to something bigger than ourselves. I have faith. I believe in a God. So that for me helps me connect to my soul. And often people would ask me, what's spirituality? Like, is that religion? Blah, blah. I'm like, it can be, or it doesn't have to be. I think it's spirituality is anything that allows you, or it's the things, the tools that you use on a daily basis that allow you to connect to your soul. So that could be meditation. It might be yoga. It might be being out on the golf course on a bike. It's anything that takes you away from the ego and the franticness and allows you to drop into the essence of yourself, which is that kind of peaceful state. And one other big pillar in the book about lighting up the soul is we need to let go of the not enoughness syndrome, I call it. And it's the biggest thing I see working with people on our events, in our retreats. Most people, particularly women, just don't feel enough. And like, I know that place. And it's horrible. And that's when you act in ways that aren't aligned, because you're trying to fit in and, you know, be approved of. So you'll just kind of do things and say, you know. But when you kind of just strip all that back and say, you know, my biggest lesson, I suppose, in listening to the soul was to understand that not everyone's going to love you. Not even everyone's going to like you. And that's okay. I mean, not everybody's meant to like the same things. We're all different, and that's what makes the world go round. But when you can be okay in that place, because you know it's aligned to your truth, then it doesn't matter. And letting go of that not enoughness is, I think, such a pillar in grounding yourself into the soul. And then from that place, you can kind of just fly high, because your wings are unclipped now and you're like, peck off, I don't care what you think I'm doing. I'm doing it anyway because it's aligned to my truth.
I probably should have asked this earlier, but so you were saying that you kind of always had this passion to be helping people and from a holistic approach, kind of. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that inspired you to go into that? Like, is there somebody that you saw when you were young and said, they're doing it right, I like what they're doing, or was there, like, I don't know, like an event or something in your life that you were like, actually, hang on for a minute, this isn't how things has to be, I want to go that way?
Well, yeah, it's interesting you said that. When I was about 14, my mum handed me a book, and it was from Louise Hay, and it was called You Can Heal Your Life. So Louise Hay is this huge American spiritual guru. She's passed on now, but her book was all about looking at that kind of mind-body connection and the power of what we tell ourselves and our intention and the power of our thoughts to literally change your life, and how that impacts the physical body as well. So like kind of what I mentioned earlier. So that I think planted a massive seed for me subconsciously in my mind, going, there's more to it than just the physical. And then as I went through obviously school and into college, I always had that book with me. It was kind of like always came everywhere with me, and I still have it, and I still, it's one of those books you can pick up and drop down and tap into at any time. So I think that was pivotal for me. That really kind of, and I'm so blessed to say that I went on and I met her, and I've been to a lot of her shows when I was in Australia. And then following people in her path, like Marianne Williamson, who endorsed my book, like she ran for American president last year, but she's one of these huge, again, Return to Love was her big book, and it's all about that sense of opening the heart and listening to that. And so from Louise Hay's book, which my mum handed me when I was 14, that really opened me up to the world of kind of, you know, integrative health and, I suppose, spirituality and looking beyond the physical and knowing the impact of our mind and how that impacts.
Loving yourself, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big part of my message and my mission as well, is to really help. That's why I call the book Light Up, to help people find their light again. Because I think so many of us are just, especially I think in Ireland, it's a culture thing. It's like, who do you think you are? You're one. You know, you have that kind of notions, you know. So we dim our light and we kind of retract and we kind of pull in. I say, oh, Jesus, you know. So my book is to kind of help people say, like, you've one life here. Like, go after it. Shine that light, because not only are you doing a disservice to yourself, but you're also doing a disservice to the world if you're not letting your light shine. Because you're not going to be helping people. You're not going to be inspiring people. Like, go out there and use your gifts and your talents and unpack them and let them fly into the world, because you're going to help people. And that's the mission and the essence of my book, is give people permission to press pause first and foremost. Go in, listen. What is it I need at this phase and stage of my life? What is my heart asking for? What is my soul longing for? How can I light up? And then how can I make decisions and act in a way that's going to be aligned to that, that then it's going to allow me to light up? And then we have a more lit up world, and isn't that what we all want?
What's the big dream going forward then, Miriam, now?
Yeah, so I too, like a little bit of a crossroads in my own life again. I'm constantly meeting these crossroads. And this is where I have to be very careful that I don't just run with, you know, like we talk about earlier, the next thing, or say yes to that and say yes to that and grab all these opportunities. I really have to press pause now again and say, okay, what's the next phase and stage of my life? And Jerry's going mad and he's like, what's your plan? I'm like, I don't know. Because there's a big part of me that still wants to be fully at home with my kids.
Yeah.
They're still young, 5 and 3, and my heart is still wanting that. So yet I'm being called in so many other directions with the book now and with talks and events and all of that kind of stuff. So my mission is to, or my dream, I suppose, is to find that balance where I can be predominantly with my kids, but then dip in and out and do the things that I want to do that will light me up and keep me nourished in that field, because it does really nourish me when I'm doing this work. So it's to dip in and out, to do our retreats, to do our events and shows, knowing that I can pick and choose when I'm allowed to do that and when I can still be there with the kids. But ultimately, like, my big dream is, you know, maybe when the kids get bigger, and who knows when this will be, but is just to keep doing what I'm doing, to write and to speak and to travel the world. And hopefully my book will go all over the world and become global and land into the hands of people who need it and want it and will help them. And that's the dream.
Nice.
I know it's a bit premature, but you were saying that you wrote so much for 2 books at the start, you had to cut a lot out.
Yeah.
Are you inspired now to go again, or?
Yeah, no, I think writing will definitely be very much part of my life. So funny, someone said to me about the book, they said, what's it called? And I said, Light Up. And they're like, you wrote a book about smoking. I was like, no. And then they said, you'll have to call the sequel Keep Her Lit.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show.
So yeah, there might be a Keep Her Lit coming, but we'll see, please God, yeah, down the line.
And you have to go off now and do the audio.
Yeah.
For the book.
Yeah, that's where I'm heading to now, so that'll be fun.
We were laughing earlier, we were saying we had a guest on before who went for a trial to do their own audio book and they didn't get it.
Tell their own story.
Yes. I know.
And it was a memoir as far as I remember. Yes, their own life and some other fella's playing down there.
I know.
It should be a rule. If you write the book, you should have first right refusal. So they say, right, Terrence, that's your book. Do you want to do the audio? And they say that, no, give it to someone else. Not like, Terrence, you have to come in, but there's 3 other people auditioning as well.
I know.
It makes no sense. Like,
I know. Yeah,
but anyways, you'll get to do yours, so that's great.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. But now, listen, thanks very much for coming in.
I have one more question that I was kind of sitting on, because I was kind of toying with how does it come across. But
I hate when he starts something with this.
I'm like, just like, come out with it.
I know. But look, if it comes across bad, we'll just chop it.
Yeah.
But is your book more tailored towards women?
Very good question. And
why would that come across?
Because I didn't want to come across as like, oh, look, there's a woman writing a book about a woman, kind of. Like, I'm like, no, it can be for everybody, but it's just a genuine question.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a very good question. And I think it's absolutely for everybody. And as I mentioned earlier, everyone, we all have a nervous system, we all have a heart, we all have struggles. So it's 100% for everyone. It does have a female slant to it, obviously, because I am female and I've come at it from the point of view of like motherhood. I share my vulnerabilities around that as well and how challenging I've found it at times. So I think it will really resonate with a lot of women, but it's not solely for women. It's for everyone. And actually at my book launches, especially the one in Dublin, there was a lot of men there. And I've got a lot of messages from them saying that they're really enjoying it, and then they're going to hand it to the wife, etc. So there you go. So, well, yeah.
Even from being at the Soul Sunday events, it's a complete like 50-50.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, it's tailored towards one gender. It's a complete 50-50.
Yeah. So. And it's great to see more men actually coming to these type of events and stuff, because, you know, ordinarily it's mainly women, or like no more than the yoga class, it's generally all women, you know. So it's great to see that shift happening, and I just think it would be amazing for more men to have these conversations, because, you know, we do hold things in as men and women, and, you know, locking things in and keeping things suppressed, it's like that bottle of coke, you know, So we don't want that for anyone, whether it's man or woman. So it's great to have these conversations trickling across.
Are women more open to a holistic approach, though? I think
they are. Just by the nature of women like to chat and like to kind of, you know, rant a little bit and like, you know, meet up and have the chit chat more. And then I think that comes out more and they kind of tend to share more a little bit. But I think in the modern world of the woman in the workplace and like trying to be strong and do everything, it's kind of, it's not as, you know, maybe not as regular as it has been in the past. And I think we all have what they call in yoga, we all have the yin and the yang, which is the male energy, the female energy. We're all meant to have both. And when we're truly balanced, that's when we have both in harmony working together. But what we often see is we have too much of the masculine energy, which is the go, 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 do, running through some of the women. And they've lost touch with the feminine side, which is the gentle and the more sensitive and the kind of meant to slow down side. And similarly with men, sometimes the men aren't dropping into that sensitive side, which we all need. And that's feeling into your emotions and not suppressing and not trying to have it all macho and allowing the vulnerabilities to rise. So I think both in men and women, it's to look at, you know, a question I would often say to people is, if you look back over the last, say, 6 months of your life, how have you been showing up and what's the energy you've been living in? And sometimes maybe just ask someone you live with to answer this one for you and mirror it back to you. Because sometimes we're just blind to our own ways of being because we're so in it. You know, Jerry would often say it's like the ketchup inside the bottle. It's like I'm the ketchup inside the bottle of ketchup, so I can't see the outside of the bottle. But ask those around you and they'll tell you what you're like. So are you Tasmanian devil running around sugar coughing, like stress ball of frantic energy? Or are you showing into your life kind of more grounded and more set, you know, strong and centered? Or are you a bit angry, a bit bitter with the world and a bit of chip on the shoulder and a bit like pissed off at life and you're throwing that anger out there? You know, as Jerry would often say as well, it's the shadows you cast. So what are the energies you're shedding and casting into the world? And if it's a good and nourishing one and you're happy with that, brilliant. But if it's not, maybe it's pressing pause and just saying, oh, well, what do I need to tweak and shift here so that I can balance those yin and yang energies and come back into the heart maybe and back into myself, more grounded, so that when I do enter the world, I'm from a steadier, more grounded state.
Yeah, because I've seen 2 in 5 men in Ireland will die before the age of 75 from preventable causes. So it's like the stuff that we do now that's going to change that. And like even the simple things that you were saying, like the code, you know, your daily activities, small changes in your life now that they kind of snowball. You talked about the non-negotiables then. Have you got, I obviously you do, but what is one non-negotiable you have every day?
The breath is my non-negotiable. And one other thing I do actually, which might sound a bit mad, but when I get up in the morning, I light a candle. And it's not about the lighting of the candle, but it's what that does for me. It reminds me to stop and pause and be grateful. And it reminds me to get out of the head and into the heart. And when I'm in the heart, then I'm more loving. And then that sets me up. Like, so if the kids are gone bonkers or whatever, and sometimes if I'm in my head, I'll be a bit more reactive and be like, you know. But if I'm in my heart, I'll just say, okay, let it go. Or meet them at their level, drop down to the, you know. So that's very, it's just a very symbolic thing. But what it's doing is reminding me to be grateful in that moment. So things like gratitude, really important, because, and the science behind gratitude is you can't be in anger and hatred and fear and in love and compassion and kindness at the same time. They can't coexist. So when you're in that space of gratitude, it's amazing how that floods the body with more serotonin and oxytocin. And these are your hormones that make you feel more at ease and more happy and more loving. So that's one thing that I love to do. If I can, I don't get in every day, but jumping into the sea for me is like just therapy for my soul. It's everything. It just washes away any shit. It cleanses me. And I just feel like it's a great reset. And you just come out feeling alive again. And I feel like it brings that like childlike wonder back, that sense of, woo, jump into the sea. It just kind of brings that playfulness back.
And it's free.
And it's free. It absolutely doesn't cost anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to plug, Miriam?
Other than the book.
Other than the book.
Where can
available
the book?
Now in all shops, stores, all around Ireland. just to let people know, we have a retreat, which is coming up, a 4-day immersive retreat with myself and Jerry. And I don't say this lightly, and it's not me, you know, my ego pumping this out. It's genuinely the words that come back from people that come on the retreat with us, is that it's life changing and transformative, because you get 4 days away from everything to just literally, like, imagine what we've just spoke about. Imagine fleshing that out in 4 days. And just giving people time and space to really dissect what's going on and then work through. It's a really powerful, but it's great fun as well. Like, yeah, we've great laugh, yeah. And we get people into the sea, and we do yoga, and we do boxing, we do a bit of everything with everyone. So that's this October in the Armada in Clare, 19th to 22nd of October. And then we have the Christmas show Light Up, which is the 11th of December.
Yeah, if I've heard about the retreats, obviously, but if that aren't, like, just the Souls Bay Sunday events, like, that's just a small fraction of what you're going to do, obviously, over the course of a couple of days. So yeah. I can imagine it's life-changing for anybody that wants to go and do that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Right, I think that's it. Miriam, we've been trying to get this done for months, but you are busy
years.
With the book.
I think this is 2 years. Yeah.
But you knew the book was coming, so we knew eventually we'd have to get you in. Yeah. We are obliged to come in. But yeah, keep doing what you're doing. We look forward to the next one. And yeah, tell Jerry we were asking for him. Yeah.
I will. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks very much, Miriam. Thank you.
All right, we're all done here. Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom. That's us for this week. Thanks to the legends at Roy Stoyle Furniture Shop for the support.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roy Stoyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa, sorted. Beds, covered. Dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus, the lads in the store are sound as well. And if you're more of an online shopper, that's no problem.
Whack in the code GET10 on roystyle.ie and take 10% off whatever you're buying. Free savings. What's not to love?
I'm telling you, don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of the mattresses, in which case, fair play.
Roy Price, Roy Stoyle, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Work it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down.
The presidential election is nearly here, so if you're on the register, the big thing is actually showing up and voting.
Exactly. On polling day, Friday, October 24th, head down to your local station with your photo ID.
You might get a polling card in the post. Now it's handy if you do, but you don't need it to vote.
The polling card tells you where to go, but if you're not sure, check online at checktheregister.ie.
The whole process is quick. Show your ID, get your stamped ballot paper, make your choice starting with the number one, drop it in the box and boom, job done.
And if you want to look on how it works, there's a short video on electoralcommission.ie.
So don't just sit on the couch, get out and use your vote to decide who's our next president.
Learn more now at www.electoralcommission.ie.